This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
All-Stars episode 19 was recorded on June 17th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Professor Steve Keen is back with us today. Steve, I understand that you were in Sweden last week talking about credit and economics. What took you there?
There's a lot of groups around the world which spun off Positive Money in the UK, Eric, which is a group that's campaigning to take away the power of banks to create money and give it just have it as a state-based thing. I'm a bit of a critic of that, but I'm also on the Positive Money board in the UK. I think we need private money creation as well, but we need to control it rather than letting it be uncontrolled as it has been for the last 40 years. But they wanted to discuss at this particular conference what they call CBDC, which stands for Central Bank Digital Currencies. And this is a development which, as it happens, Sweden is further down the track than virtually any other country. There's been such a decline in the use of cash in Sweden now that something like, I think, over 95% of all person-to-company transactions these days are done with cards rather than cash. And now what the central bank there is considering doing, they haven't actually done it, but they're talking about it, is giving everybody in the country an account at the central bank for a form of digital cash.
I wrote a book predicting that, so no surprise here. How does the Swedish economy look to you from your point of view through all this?
That was the interesting thing. Of course, in giving a talk in Sweden, I thought I'd take a look at the Swedish data and see what its country looked like. And it's got some weird components to it. You know, my focus is always on the level of private debt, the level of credit, and the potential to have a crisis when the rate of growth of debt slows down, the rate of growth of debt being credit turning negative and causing a financial crisis, as we saw back in the States in 2008. And having looked at Sweden, I think it's looking like a reasonable candidate for something like that. Just to give you an idea, if you've got to dig into the detail a bit more than I'm going to give you straight away here, but if you go right back to the 1960s, starting about 1961, then the level of private debt in Sweden was 40% of GDP, which is the sort of level that applied in America back in the 50s and 60s. Fast forward to 2015, and it's almost a straight line, it hits 294% of GDP. Now, that's twice the level of private debt that applies in America. It's quite remarkable. And it's been on a downward trajectory now. It started heading down at the end of 2016. It hit 293% then again. And it's now down to about 275% of GDP. Now, to put that in context, America's when the financial crisis hit America, its private debt level was 170% of GDP, massively lower amount. And then it fell to 150. So at the moment, the level of private debt in Sweden is almost twice the level of America. And the other intriguing feature is that, of course, we all know that what was the real trigger for the crisis in America was household debt. Now, on that front, Sweden looks a lot healthier because most of the debt it's got is corporate debt. And at least when companies borrow money, they borrow to invest, generally speaking. They also borrow to do share buybacks and things like that. But I'm told that's fairly restricted in Sweden. But what is remarkable is over the financial crisis, there was dramatic rise in corporate debt. And I really have no idea what caused this. It began in 2008, let's say, 123% of GDP. Now, that's still pretty damn high. That's almost about twice America's level, 123%. But it went up over just 5 or 6 years to 180%. And that's a high level of corporate debt in the entire private sector, households plus corporate in America. And I really would like to know what caused that. It's I think anybody wants to go and dig and look at corporate records to see what on earth caused that huge, what have we got, an order of 60% of GDP increase in corporate debt over about 4 or 5 years. There's something strange happening in Sweden.
Now, what about the rest of the other Nordic countries, Steve? Do you see other vulnerabilities there too?
Yeah, I mean, the most extreme is Sweden, because it's got the highest level of private debt, and it's had a clear, and this is what I see as the most dangerous, a clear increase in household debt, which is the, when people borrow for companies, they're borrowing normally to invest, you get an increase in productive capacity, which means you can actually partially service the increase in debt that you've taken on. I don't think that applies when you get to the levels of, you know, almost 200% of GDP, but it's still feasible. When households borrow, they're borrowing almost always just to gamble on rising house prices. That, of course, gives you a house price bubble, which then comes crashing down, and you have something like the global financial crisis. Now, again, in Sweden, just to go over the data, Sweden back in 1996 was at 40% of GDP. It's now at 90% of GDP. And that it's not as high as America hit during the 2008, but it's rising. And now it's turning over. We're now seeing falling house prices in Sweden, along with falling levels of household mortgages. And I think potentially there's the bursting of the Swedish house price bubble has begun. But the other country that looks suspect as well, in Norway, which has the highest level of household debt in the region, and potentially Denmark. And I'm not particularly worried about, from what I can see, from Finland and the Netherlands, but definitely I'd say Sweden, Norway, and Denmark look like could be in for rocky times in the next 2 years.
And just for the benefit of our listeners who may not have followed your work in detail, as we're describing these countries based on their amount of excessive private debt in terms of vulnerability, vulnerable to what? What is it that can go wrong, and what should we be concerned about in coming years for these countries that are becoming very over indebted?
Yeah, well, the basic issue, the difference in my approach to economics, Eric, as you're aware, but of course listeners might not be, is that I take the level of credit seriously. Conventional economic theory says credit is a transfer of spending power from one person to another. One person rises, the other falls. They pretty much cancel out. I say in the world in which banks actually create debt, banks create new debt on the asset side of their books, and they create new money on the liability side, which is what you get as a loan. And anybody who borrows that money spends that money. So you don't get it cancelling out. An increase in credit causes an increase in economic activity, and a fall in credit causes a fall in economic activity. Now, if you have a period of sustained positive credit, you get a higher and higher level of private debt, ultimately reaching the limits that people can take on as debt to service, the limit banks are willing to extend. You go from positive credit to negative credit, and you have a financial crisis. Now, in America's case, when that hit back in 2008, the level of credit was plus 15% of GDP. At the depth of the crisis, it was minus 5% of GDP. Looking at Sweden, this is why I say Sweden is the particularly worrying one. Sweden's level of credit at the moment is equivalent to 20% of GDP. Now, that goes from plus 20, to which is more than America had during the financial crisis, or before the financial crisis, to minus 5. We're talking a serious downturn in economic activity. And that's what really concerns me. The other thing about Sweden, which is really quite curious, I wasn't aware of this before I was asked to go and speak there. They used to be, for obvious reasons, you know, Saab and Volvo and so on, running a large trade surplus, which gave them a bit of a buffer. That trade surplus has evaporated in the last 8 to 10 years. So I don't think they've got the buffer of an export surplus like Japan has right now to cope with credit turning negative. So Sweden is definitely on my watch list for countries that could have a credit crunch in the next 1 to 3 years.
Okay, Steve, we'll look forward to getting you back in a couple of weeks for another update. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.